The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Welcoming back now, David Buick, market strategist at Cantor Index in London. David, welcome.
Kathleen, good evening. Or should I say good day to you, really, is probably better. And to you, Vonnie, too.
Thank you, David. Happy holidays.
Yes, and so lovely to have you. So, European Central Bank leaving the door open. How important is this?
It depends on how wide open it can keep it, because I think next year is going to be absolutely dire. We've seen some terrible data today. Let's just deal with Greece. Now, anybody who tells me that unemployment in Greece is officially at 26% and is at 54.6% at youth unemployment can deliver growth and at the same time implement austerity measures such as our is living in cloud cuckoo land or on the planet Zog, because it simply cannot happen. We've also got severe problems in Spain, and we are going to have almost certainly some kind of a bailout for the banks, maybe by the back door with the government. That we're also going to see serious problems in Italy. Notice today that Silvio Berlusconi was flexing his muscles again at making very uncomplimentary remarks to the Italian Prime Minister, Mario Monti. And as things go on, I could just go on. France is, in my opinion, is a fat, bloated public sector economy, which offers very little respite for 2013. And whether Germany thinks it's Charles Atlas or not, with the rest of Europe on his shoulders, I have news for Chancellor Merkel and all her friends, they're not.
Well, David, with an outlook as grim as that for the various countries, could another 25 basis point cut from the ECB do much good?
It would show temporary alleviation. But the problems are really very, very severe indeed, because we're not certain that the level of austerity which needs to be implemented, and we've already seen what just the threat of it has done in places like Athens and Madrid and other European capitals. But in point of fact, apart from Greece, very little in terms of what really needs to be done has been done. And therefore, cutting rates down from 0.75% to 0.5% would show some willing. But it's not going to deliver growth to the degree that it needs to, because everything has taken far too long, and certain red herrings, such as keeping Greece within the European Union, I think has really cost Europe making progress forward.
Let's look at that red herring, because
sure.
I agree with you that this is such a key point, and we have guest after guest, economists, strategists, officials, ex-officials, who are 100% certain that the Eurozone is committed to keeping Greece in. If you ask them about the uncompetitiveness of Greece, about the difficulty of coming out of a depression with further austerity, they brush it off. You know, they've renegotiated the debt, etc. You don't buy it.
Not at all. The fact remains that all I get is we're worried about contagion. We're worried about sending the wrong message. We're worried about the damage that this is going to do to the Europe overall. What I'm saying is that if the banks, who've had something like 3 years' notice, Kathleen, about the problems that Greece has, that if they haven't made contingency plans by writing some of these debts off completely, they've not done their job properly. Now, we've had warnings across the bows from very senior people in the central banks that there is a belief that some banks in Europe have been less than economical with the truth about the value of some of their toxic debt. Well, this is really a classic case of why it is so important to shake the trees, get all the bad apples out, and start from scratch again. Now, there was thought that the banks actually, 3 or 4 years ago, simply couldn't afford to do that. But, you know, conditions are better than they were. And though we're expected, according to the ECB, going to get minus 0.5% growth this year, and then something like 0.3% next year, and then the year after 1%. That's pretty dire in comparison to the fantastic effort the United States has made. But you've got a proper economy over there, but ours is so fragmented over here, with only strength really in Germany and superficially in France, but one is beginning to worry about France. And I just think that the world sent a proper message out and said to Greece, right, you're out of here in 2 years, get a 50% devalued drachma, you'd probably be the most attractive place to go on holiday in Europe. And they've got half a chance of recovery. But currently what they're just doing now is sending out the wrong messages and dragging everybody's down to the lowest common, every country down to the lowest common denominator. And personally speaking, I think it's nonsense, but I'm afraid I'm a lone voice in the wilderness.
David, we see how difficult conditions are in the United States with an unemployment rate of 7.9%. What do leaders do to start hiring people in Europe again? The youth unemployment rate in Greece last month, 57%. Mm. The overall rate's well into the 20s.
Well, it's 26%. The fact is that what you can't do with a country like Greece, because it doesn't have a broad-based economy, is to implement the level of austerity that it has to do in order to get its debt down and deliver growth at the same time. What I'm saying is that given a chance of writing off a large share of the debt that they have to the other banks and the other countries within Europe, and devaluing the currency, is that they've got a splendid opportunity of delivering some growth, because basically it's going to be based on tourism anyway. Well, and also it would be attractive for some countries to open factories. I mean, look how well Ireland has done with people like Google and Microsoft and other things, because they've got tax concessions. It's worth them opening there so that they can employ people.
David, quickly, is this all politics? Are they going to keep Greece in the Eurozone until after the German elections, after Merkel gets reelected?
I believe it is politics, and I understand from where she's coming from. I mean, 6 months ago or a year ago, she had absolutely no chance of winning the election. She's got every chance now next September.
David, I asked you right before the break if the reason so many support this notion of Greece staying in, it is a bit of a facade that they're saying, well, keep Greece in, but what they really want to do is, in Germany, for example, the Chancellor Merkel wants to get past her reelection. More broadly, countries figuring, well, we'll get things steady, we'll get the pressure off Spain and Italy and, you know, let others take their steps. And when things are calmed down and we don't have to worry about contagion, that's when we'll let Greece go. But even if that's what they're doing, from what you listen to what Vani just said, it's hard to believe that the Greeks can keep it together, that the polity, the country can hold it together.
Well, let's deal with the situation in Greece. And, you know, if you lived in Athens and if you were a doctor or, you know, even of professional quality, and people who are educated just out of university, no chance of getting a job. That is deeply depressing. And a lot of people are leaving. A certain amount of money has left many of the Greek banks, as we know. You can't tackle a problem, in my opinion, doing one thing. And what, you know, we hear from, apart from the IMF, that has its doubts about extending the period of time that we've been allowing Greece to repay its debt, is that people seem to be very happy that Antonis Samaras, the Prime Minister, has implemented the austerity cuts that he should do. But what he has done, basically, is completely trashed the Greek people. What he hasn't done, which is what he has to do, is to sell assets. And everybody says, oh, well, I'm not going to give up my sovereignty. And I'm saying, Buster, you don't have any alternative, because they've sold no airports, no ports, no real assets that could realize the money immediately. And they absolutely appear to, categorically, to refuse to do that. Also, there is clearly no sign of people stepping up to the plate and paying their taxes. I mean, the United States, you're having your problem. President Obama is insisting that, you know, those of the better off should pay more tax. We're having similar things in the United Kingdom, that we're tired of people finding the loopholes and not stepping up to the plate and paying their tax, and that is being rectified. But these are very fundamental things for a small country with Greece. Greece is 3% of the entire GDP of Europe. Why do we have to put the whole of Europe under the microscope and have it standing over the cliff when it's not necessary? And that's my problem with it.
The thing is, David, it's one thing, you know, not paying your tax and it's a crime, etc. But if you're needing to, you know, depend on charity for your insulin, there is something wrong there, isn't there?
Absolutely. But what I'm saying, Vonnie, is that we're not seeing the things that could be done. Is that, you know, even if they sold 20 billion euros worth of property and valuable assets, it doesn't mean that the Greek people are not going to have some employment as a result of having done so. It could actually enhance it. But there is just no sign, as I can see, of that. One of the original things that was discussed 2 years ago was that assets had to be sold and had to be sold quickly. Now, you can very rightly say, well, once people know that you're a forced seller, the price goes down. But there are people out there with imagination knowing that if they've got hold of ports or airports, that they can actually make them work. And if you put it together with a proper study and a proper plan of what you're going to do with the Greek economy going forward, you know, Greece to go on holiday for somebody like me now is a very expensive place to go on holiday, because it's, they jack everything up because it's the only thing they've got, which is tourism. So they jack all the prices up for those summer months. We've got an alternative to go elsewhere in the world. Going to the United States is infinitely cheaper, if I may say so, rather more fun.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, and so it's, you know, you've got a situation. What I'm saying is that if the whole of Europe pulled together, not to destroy Greece, but to help it, and say you've got a two-year window of opportunity, what an opportunity for these guys to grab.
So,
and
David,
I just think it would work.
Why is the market so positive on Europe next year then? I've read so many strategists that say stocks in Europe are going to rebound. JP Morgan is even saying that the peripherals are going to outperform the core countries.
I don't necessarily think, Vonnie, that the key stocks, whether they're the stock 600 or anything, they are not representative of what I call the economies of their respective countries. If you take France with the CAC 40, 40 of those stocks, apart from the fact that the French government owes great chunks of some of the utilities and the banks, most of those drug companies and other things and EDS and what's thing, those are international stocks. They derive huge interest and huge revenues from an international market. The same applies to Germany. You, in the 30 stocks that they've got there, you know, companies like Allianz, you know, and other countries of that companies of that nature, SAP, BASF, Bayer, they're international. They are not representative. And then you go into some of countries like Spain and Italy. Now, Italy used to be an extremely wealthy country, but it's unfortunately politically massively fragmented. All the wealth is in the Po Valley, and the rest of it just hangs in rags. And the people in the north of Italy have got a lot of money, and a lot of it's under the pillar.
Well, I mean, do politicians even matter anymore? It looks like you mentioned today about Silvio Berlusconi threatening to withdraw his party support from Mario Monti.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, does it matter who's leading the country?
I think it does, because I think potentially Italy is a country that could recover extremely quickly, because it does have, you know, it was the fourth strongest economy in Europe, and it still does have, you know, fundamental industrial and manufacturing base within the Po Valley. The rest of Italy has, for some time apart from agricultural product, been extremely poor. But politically, it's unbelievably fragmented. I don't know how many parties there are, but like 10 parties. So it is a very difficult country to run. But it basically has basic wealth. But a lot of these other countries don't have the same fundamental ability to be able to put corrective matters into process.
So how is this going to play out? What does it mean for the Eurozone?
It will all be swept
Eurozone?
Under the carpet. Mm-hmm. That Mario Draghi, bless him, and I think he's a cracking bloke to run the ECB. I think he knows exactly how many beans make four. But as he rightly points out all the time, I am but a servant of the European Union. You tell me what the rules are, and I'll implement them. And I'll tell you what, I'll implement them better than anybody else. So all these problems are going to be swept under the carpet, and we are united. We're going to play ring of roses all the way around the German Parliament, and we're all united together. United we stand, divided we fall. It's nonsense, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And the trouble is, it's going to drag growth down in every individual country, and it's very sad.
And why is it going to drag growth down? Explain that to our listeners, because some would say, no, this is important. This is a political union. This is, you know, coming out of World War II and wanting to have a union economically, financially,
yep,
politically. You know, Europe can't abandon this. Why is it going to drag down growth?
Because other people are going to be asked to step up to the plate and pay other people's dues. And it's completely unfair. And I have no problem with the European Union. I think with 17 countries, I think it's a fantastic idea. It's kept peace in our time. It is a major force economically, if it's run the right way. The United States of America, or the American government, is very keen that the European Union stays in one piece. And I agree that it is an incredibly important unit. But it doesn't mean that it needs to be expanded every single year and add another two or three on here and add another two or three on there, and we're up to 27, and 10 of them make no contribution at all, and others have to pay for it. And what I'm saying is that if you send out the right message that you have to abide by our fiscal rules, you're fine. If you don't, you're not. Where Angela Merkel and I forget who it was, the French president before, come to me in a minute anyway, they said they should never have let Greece in. Never. They were never close to meeting the fiscal requirements. And that's Chirac, I've remembered his name, I'm sorry. And that's where it all went wrong. Because it was such a garden party, and because we had no problems with debt, or everybody said debt's irrelevant, we're in a low level of interest rates, let everybody borrow as much money as a government, as an individual, buy stocks and shares, buy houses, use your credit card to buy a Starbucks when you can't even afford a bus ticket. This is where it's all crazy and where it's gone wrong, and we're paying for it now.
Well, David, you know, almost in the context of what we're speaking about, it doesn't seem very helpful, but the debt swap deadline is tomorrow and it looks like it'll go ahead as planned. I mean, you know, it'll bring down the debt to GDP ratio maybe by another couple of points. I mean, is any of this helping, or are we looking at 10 years?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. You and I hope I have a conversation with you delightful ladies in a year's time. And I hope you look at me down or talk to me down to the phone and say, David, you were wrong. I've got a funny feeling you won't.
So the final, summing up, 15 seconds. Investors, what do I sell? What do I buy, David? What is this takeaway here?
I believe that equities in Europe and in the United States and in the UK will declare UDI, Unilateral Declaration of Independence from Reality. Great. Why? Because they're international stocks with international markets. Anything that is only Spanish, only Italian, only English, only German, forget it.
David Buick, thank you so very much. An unforgettable conversation from David Buick, Cantor Index. This is the Hayes Advantage, Bloomberg Radio.
You can listen to the Hayes Advantage weekdays at 12:30 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.